This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:04 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always. Another fine show lined up for you on this Sunday morning. Comfortable out. It rained overnight, but you know what? I'm digging it. It's not too humid, and a pleasant ride in here this morning to the WGR studios here in beautiful Amherst, New York. The golf is on here in the studio. I have absolutely no idea what's going on with that, but I hear Tiger's doing good, so I guess that's good for everybody else. But apparently he just missed a shot for birdie or something to take the lead. So if anything cool happens there, we'll try and keep you updated. But we've got NASCAR on tap today. The Cup Series is in New Hampshire this week, and actually the race is starting at 1 o'clock this afternoon. They moved it up an hour. There is weather in the Loudoun, New Hampshire area, and there's a good chance they might even get to race today because there is just rain all around up there in New England, and there is a chance that they'll be lucky to get a window to get the race even started, let alone get to the end of Stage 2 to get an official race today. So, keep it locked on to WGR throughout the afternoon, and you might have to be watching a race tomorrow at work, potentially, with how the weather is going. Out there in Loudoun, New Hampshire, with Kurt Busch scheduled to start on the pole alongside Martin Truex Jr. They're on row one, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin in row two, Ryan Blaney, Brad Keselowski in row three, Eric Jones, Alex Bowman, Daniel Suarez, Chase Elliott, your top 10 starters today at New Hampshire. And be ready for potential domination by one of those Toyota drivers starting near the front of the field, Truex, Busch, Hamlin, heck, even maybe Eric Jones or Daniel Suarez, because I was watching practice yesterday. An interesting stat on the NBC broadcast: in the last four races at New Hampshire, Toyota cars have led 97% of the laps in the last four races at New Hampshire. So might give you an indication of how things might go this afternoon at the Magic Mile there in the Granite State of New Hampshire, with the line of granite there at the finish line as their tribute to the Yard of Bricks at the Indianapolis 500. Coming up on today's program, though, in about 9 minutes away, the World of Outlaws are headed back to Western New York, the World of Outlaws Sprint Cars, and Craig Kinzer is going to join us, son of the King of the Outlaws, Steve Kinzer, of course, but Craig is a full-time regular on the World of Outlaws trail. He's headed to Ransomville on Friday night, and Craig is going to join us at quarter past the hour. We'll talk to him. I was spinning plates this weekend, even trying to line up a World of Outlaws guest. I was, trying to go directly through the World of Outlaws PR department, but also trying to, through social media, contact other guys. And I had like three potential interviews lined up and wound up with getting at least one. So we'll talk to Craig at quarter past the hour, get his thoughts on returning to Ransomville. He finished 10th last year in the race that wound up getting postponed until October last year at Ransomville, but they'll be there this Friday night. Also, coming up in the middle segment, if you follow me on social media, or maybe you were listening to One Bills Live with Steve Tasker and Andrew Peters on Thursday here on WGR, you know that Clint Bowyer was in town on Thursday. He got a tour of the New Era Field and Bills facilities, and I happened to be there and tagged along and grabbed a few minutes with Clint. So we're going to play that interview at the bottom of the hour. Always fun when Watkins Glen brings a NASCAR driver through the Buffalo market. They tend to do it every year. Last year we got lucky. We had two last year, but every year right around this time, Watkins Glen gets a media tour visit from a Cup driver. Last year it was Kevin Harvick there at the casino, but they also had the bonus visit with Daniel Suarez meeting the mayor. They've had Brad Keselowski in the past. Casey Kane has done one. I'm trying to think, what was it? There was another one in there. I mean, I can't remember who else they... There was another one. I'm trying to... I can't, it's not coming to me, but the last few years at least, it's been, you know, Harvick and Keselowski and Casey Kane, definitely the last few I remember coming through town, but I think there might have been a couple others just not coming to me at the moment. But you're going to hear from Clint as I sat down inside the Bills meeting room, actually, to talk to him, right inside where the Bills have their team meetings. We sat down and chatted for a few minutes, and Clint had a really fun time. We'll talk more about that at the bottom of the hour. But real quick here, just more on the cuff series, I'll tell you, I mean, as much as fun as this season has been, I know outside of the less than thrilling performances on the mile and a half track, some of the other races this year that have been, you know, entertaining, especially the short track races and you know, some of the other events this year, as much as the on track action has been fun and interesting to watch, and the big three, that of course the big phrase going around with Kyle, Kevin, and Martin Truex, you know, locking up 14 of the wins so far this year. And even Clint Bowyer getting back to victory lane, he's got two wins. You know, outside of the good on track storylines, there has just been this underlying just doom and gloom storyline. Whether you listen to people on Twitter or you listen to the NASCAR radio channel, or just follow, you know, read some of the media columns, and there's just this underlying just yuck. I mean, you've got they talk about the ratings being down, and some people think it's a lot worse. Some people try not to take as much into it. They say, oh, well, everybody's ratings are down. But then there's some people like, well, but NASCAR's are really down, even when you compare it to, say, even, you know, the Super Bowl being down or something, or the NFL numbers being slightly down. NASCAR, in comparison, the trend has gone on longer. And, the empty seats talk, which has been going on for years, you know, all that lying underneath. And it's getting, maybe not ugly is the word, but it's growing. The dissent is growing in the sport, and even the drivers. The drivers, not so much about the ratings and the attendance, but talk of the tracks and the schedule. That's been the other thing this year, is that the schedule has gotten dull, boring and repetitive, and I guess that's the problem when you do a great thing like sign all your tracks to 5-year licensing agreements. That's great because your schedule's set and people can plan their vacations, but when there's little to no change from season to season, although this year, obviously, we did have some changes with a few races moving around and the Charlotte Roval race coming up at the end of September. You know, despite all that, there's just a lot of ragging on the schedules in all three national series. A lot of drivers. Kevin Harvick kind of started this last year, but I mean, even Kyle Busch on Dale Jr.'s podcast, you know, just the banging of the drum for more short tracks, the truck, the Xfinity series, doing more standalone events, going to more facilities like they used to back in the day when the Busch series, then Busch series, now Xfinity series, had a little more of its own identity. They went to a lot more tracks that, you know, don't host cup races. They would go to South Boston and Myrtle Beach, and they went to Volusia before it became a dirt track in the early 90s, and a lot of short tracks there in the Southeast. And, you know, even some tracks up north, they would run some more short tracks. The truck series would go to places like Flemington and Louisville, tracks that aren't even open anymore. They go to Evergreen out in Washington State, Heartland Park, Topeka, Kansas, the road course there. I think I-70 Speedway, you know, just all these different short tracks that the Cup Series didn't go to. And you still get that, you know, you still get the Iowa Speedway. You got, of course, the Eldora race that happened this week, which is always fun to watch. But it just seems like it's been getting louder and louder where drivers are hoping to see the schedule change. And unfortunately, it's not going to happen anytime soon because we're still on the tail end of this 5-year agreement, which I think runs through the 2019 or 2020 season. So you're not going to get any major changes to the schedule, but really, what is NASCAR going to do? I don't think they're going to change much when you've got two groups that own the majority of the tracks, and one of those groups is really owned by NASCAR. They try and say they're separate companies, but NASCAR and the International Speedway Corporation both own, at least in part, majority owned by the France family, same people. They're not going to take dates away from their tracks. They're not going to go tick off, you know, Bruton Smith and take dates away from the SMI track. So that leaves, you know, those few independents, the Dovers and Poconos of the world, that have independent dates. I mean, where are they going to take dates from, especially the Cup Series? But I don't think they'll make a lot of changes without maybe just moving races around. I don't think they're going to take dates away. But, I mean, where is this going to happen? I would love to see the trucks in Xfinity. I'd like to see them have more standalone races. I'd love to see them go back to some of the short tracks and, you know, continue to build an identity as its own series. And NASCAR's tried to do that with all the rules of how many races cup drivers can run in those series and everything, and that helps a bit. But still, those series, especially the Xfinity series, depend on the inclusion of cup drivers to sell sponsorships. I mean, you look at JR Motorsports, and, you know, so, luckily he's the owner of the team, but a lot of those deals were always kind of pending on Dale driving one or two races in the Xfinity series just so they could put him in pictures with their car, even though he's not driving it weekly. I just don't see it happening. All this calling for new tracks and changes to the schedule. I don't think it's going to happen. I love to hear that the drivers are banging this drum right now, and hopefully NASCAR listens, and maybe once we get to 2020, 2021, there are some changes, but I just don't see how it's going to happen. Definitely in the Cup Series, maybe you can do it with the Trucks or the Xfinity Series. But I also kind of like, at the end of the season, when the stretch there, maybe not so much Texas, but definitely that Phoenix homestead, those last two weekends of the year, I think it's neat having all three series there with the triple header to decide the series championships in all three series. Leave that alone, you know, leave Speed Weeks alone in Daytona. That's good. But yeah, in the middle of summer, you know, change it up, try and find some new facilities to go to. And the part of that, the upgrades and everything, you know, with the safer barriers and everything, it's not so easy anymore to take even a truck series to a new facility. They had to do a lot at Eldora just to bring the trucks. They didn't put safer barriers in, but they had to make a lot of facility upgrades to bring the trucks there. You know, can you go to an Irwindale Speedway? Could you go to Lake Erie Speedway? Could you go to, you know, any major, one of the more well-run short tracks in this country and ask them, hey, we want to have an Xfinity race here, but you got to pay X amount of dollars to put safer barriers in, and you got to pay X amount of dollars to put more seats in your at your track, whether they're permanent or temporary seating. It's a lot of financial undertaking for a facility. More on that later, but we're going to go to the AT&T hotline. Joining us right now, he used to run in the Truck Series, but he's more known, of course, as being part of the most famous name in sprint car racing, and he is a regular on the World of Outlaw Craftsman Sprint Car Series. Craig Kinzer joins us on the line. Craig, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning. Great to talk to you.
Hi, Dave. Good morning. Good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we are real excited. I work at Ransomville Speedway. I'm one of the track announcers, so we're real excited. This Friday night at the Big R, the World of Outlaw Craftsman Sprint Car Series is coming back to Western New York. And I know last year, you guys had to wait until October to get your date in, but we're excited to have you back this Friday night. What do you remember from last year being at Ransomville and that race back in October?
It was pretty quick. I know I ended up got a top 10 out of it. I think it was 6. But I remember being a very quick track all night. We got through a dash, finishing second in our heat race, and that's about all I remember. I remember the track when I was real, real little. I was actually there the last team before that, when the sprint cars were, or when the Outlaws were there. Other than that, it'll probably be a little different, having only seen the track twice, or will be our second time. I doubt the conditions are going to be exactly the same, and hopefully we just took good notes, and the car is going to fire off pretty quick.
You are coming into this week 10th in the series points. How has your season been going so far?
Well, it hasn't been that great. It's had its ups and downs. We're struggling pretty hard car-wise. Just can't get qualified. The way our format is, it rewards qualifying. Your nights were pretty well all based on your qualifying. So, I mean, you can tell by the first two laps of the night whether you've got the chance to having a really good night or a really bad night. then you just got to try and fight out of a hole if you dug yourself into one, and just keep everybody behind you. If not, it's just the way our format is. And, when your car's not working good, it's hard to get those starting up front, which is critical with our racing.
Craig Kinzer from the World of Outlaws joining us here in WGR's Fast Track. You guys were Supposed to run two nights in at Williams Grove Speedway in Pennsylvania, one of the most famous dirt tracks in the country. Of course, unfortunately, you guys got rained out last night, but Lance DeWeese got the big win on Friday. That track has such a history with sprint car racing. Where does that rank for you? What do you like about running at Williams Grove?
I mean, yeah, definitely. It's historic. And, I mean, obviously, when a lot of people think of sprint car racing, Williams Grove obviously pops to mind. And, the history there is something else. And not just the Williams Grove, but some of the iconic cars of when I was growing up, before I was growing up, some of the iconic sprint cars of the past, they all ran there at the Grove, and they got pretty cool pictures there. So, it's definitely, in our sport, it's one of the big tracks to go to where, a lot of history has been there.
It must have been. It's you guys are coming off a pretty exhausting week. I mean, last weekend you're at Eldora for the Kings Royal. Tuesday you go to Lernerville for the Don Martin Silver Cup, which Kyle Larson won. Stop at Lincoln, and then a big weekend at Williams Grove. I guess maybe it was a good thing you got rained out yesterday to just give you a day to rest. This seems like maybe the hugest week of the year for you guys until you get to Charlotte for the World Finals.
Yeah, that's a June and July on the outlaw circuit. I mean, all the way through it, these are busy months of the year, and yeah. We race a lot, and it's always, every year we got a couple weeks that are really, really busy, and then, this year is no exception. I enjoy being at the racetrack. The work in the app makes the days between a little quicker, and sometimes when there's no days between, it makes the mornings a little quicker. It catches up on you, but I just assume raced the other day instead of getting rained out, but it's the way it goes.
And of course, one of the other big weeks coming up to the Knoxville Nationals coming up the first week of August. But of course, Craig, we had the truck race at Eldora this week, and the connections between the dirt racing world and NASCAR maybe are as strong as they've ever been, with guys like Tony Stewart and Casey Kane, Kyle Larson, Clint Bowyer, all involved in the sport, whether as owners and drivers. Your family has ties in the NASCAR. Like I said, you ran the truck series. Your dad drove for Kenny Bernstein in the Cup series. What do you guys think about all the NASCAR guys that get involved, and whether as drivers or as owners? It seems like it's a great connection for the two forms of racing to have.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. It's always nice to maybe either take or either help us grow. Mm-hmm. It helps our sport grow because somebody might be a fan of one of the drivers or something like that, the owners, and they hear they own a race car that's running down the street. They could show up and never seen a sprint car race before and come to the crowd. So it helps everything. It helps the whole sport at its grassroots level when guys get back to their sports, not just dirt track racing, but any local part of racing. It just brings more fans to the local side of racing, and maybe gives a local kid a chance to be seen by more people.
Yeah.
It's definitely, when you got racers like that who give back to the sport on any level, it's pretty cool. Most of the guys who grow up, they don't grow up starting off in NASCAR, so they got grassroots down, and when they were kids, they were at racetracks a lot of times, so they, There are certain cars that they grew up watching that they really liked, and that first love of racing never goes away. Remember what your original cars were, and you pay attention to the kids that come up around that type of racing.
Craig, of course, as I said, Kyle Larson, he got the win there on Tuesday night up there at Lernerville. When those guys come to town, whether it's Kyle or Casey or even, Tony Stewart usually runs with the All-Stars, but when he, time to time, if he ever runs with the Outlaws, are those guys, when they're running with you guys, do they just try and act like, one of the boys, or is there kind of an aura around those guys when you're competing against them?
I think there's an aura around more fan-wise. When we compete against them, a lot of those guys have been running for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us know each other pretty well around there. So as far as the aura that other drivers give him, no, they're just one of the guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're good. Like Larson, he's unbelievable. You know, he's with a great race car, you know, great driver. It's unbelievable to watch him race sometimes. Something else, along with all of them, they're all, you know, they run numerous times all over the place, and, you know, they're pretty good. I mean, they didn't get to the top level of the NASCAR without having any talent.
Right.
It's no different than dirt.
Well, if there's one series, though, that has done a great job of making its own stars, the World of Outlaws, I mean, led by people like your dad, Steve Kinzer, and even today, making stars out of guys like you and Donnie Schatz and, you know, Brad Sweet, David Gravel, all these top names. I mean, I think the World of Outlaws, when it comes to short track racing, one of the best of being able to create its own stars, and it's like a cult following almost in parts of this country, sprint car racing. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's... No, it's fortunate, and I think a lot of racing brings it up. But, you know, the reason it's so popular is because we got some great fans. And, you know, race car fans are something special to begin with. But, you know, the sprint car fans, they are, man, they love their sprint cars. They love their dirt track racing. You know, they're dedicated because, you know, some nights you're getting sprayed with mud, rocks, you know, no telling what's getting up there. Makes it hard to see, and then, you know, they just come back. For more and more and more, it's tremendous people to see. I mean, that's another nice thing about our sport. You get a lot of fan contact all the time, and it's always nice to talk to everybody. You see a lot of the same faces all across the country, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
See fans pop up here and there that, you know, live on the other side of the country, and it's always neat.
Well, I know plenty of fans here in Western New York are looking forward to seeing you this Friday night at the Ransomville Speedway, along with all the other stars of the World of Outlaws Sprint Cars. Craig, thank you so much for the time this morning. I'm sure you would have rather better things to do on this off day for you, but thank you so much for the time and the discussion. I really appreciate it, and hopefully I'll try and swing by your hauler there Friday night, see if I can shake your hand and thank you personally for doing this. But look forward to seeing you Friday night.
Yeah, no worries. Definitely looking forward to it. Like I said, come on down. We're normally pretty good when talking to everybody. And like I said, after the races, normally the pits are open. You know, stop by and say hi.
All right, Craig, thanks for the time. We'll see you Friday.
See you later.
All right, Craig Kinzer from the World of Outlaw Craftsman Sprint Cars. They will be at the Ransomville Speedway Friday night. Time is running out to get your reserve tickets. Head over to the World of Outlaws website or the Ransomville Speedway website. There's some reserve tickets left, but not much. You can still buy walk-up tickets, general admission walk-up tickets, Friday night at the track. Just World of Outlaw Sprint Cars and their Sportsman Division, 7:15 start time, but the gates open. Pit gates at 2 and grandstand gates, I believe, are at 4. If you've never been, if you want to see the big time dirt car short track racing, if you've never been, this is an event you want to see. It's going to be a full house. It's definitely the short track equivalent of going to a cup race, because you get there, all the merchandise haulers, all the drivers have merch haulers, kind of like the cup drivers do. And these guys put on one heck of a show, and just the four wide salute and Johnny Gibson and just everything that goes along with the World of Outlaws event. If you got the opportunity this Friday night, come check us out at the Big R Ransomville Speedway up in Niagara County. It's going to be a fun night. All right, we get back. We're going to talk to a guy that got his start driving dirt cars. He also owns some late model teams that still compete, but he's currently in the Sprint Cups, Monster Energy Cup Series driving for Tony Stewart this year. Clint Boyer, we're going to hear from Clint and his visit to Buffalo next year on Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Kurt Busch, driver of the Haas Automation Monster Energy Ford Fusion. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Mike Jafari, our producer here, referencing an off-air conversation he and I were having before the show here with the theme song for Demolition. Thank you.
This is an awesome theme.
That's Rick Derringer, by the way.
Oh, is it?
Yes. I learned that because I'm listening to the Demolition episode of the Something to Wrestle With podcast with Bruce Pritchard. We had Conrad Thompson, of course, on the show earlier this year. That's my thing right now, is listening to this wrestling podcast, and I have my Something to Wrestle With t-shirt on here this morning. If you missed Conrad Thompson on our show earlier this year, if you like wrestling from like the 80s and 90s through the Attitude Era of WWF, WWE, go listen to that podcast. It's really stinking good. And I'm currently on an episode devoted to the tag team Demolition. Just good stuff. So if you're into podcasts, you're into wrestling, Something to Wrestle, if you've not yet heard it, or if you have the network, they have a show on the network now too that's very similar to the podcast, but it's, you know, video, and they can throw in some clips from the WWE archive. So, but yeah, go check that out. That's good stuff. And I was super cool to have Conrad Thompson on our show earlier this year. Coming up in the future of this show, 2 weeks away, of course, is the Cup Series race at Watkins Glen, the GoBowling.com at the Glen. Right now, the plan is us to be live. Did I say that right? For us to be live. There we go. I got my words in the correct order. We're going to be live at the Glen, basically, is what I'm trying to say. 2 weeks from today, August the 5th, 10 to noon right now is the plan, unless I get bumped off the depth chart of live broadcasting that weekend because, you know, mine doesn't make any money, understandably. But right now, our plan is to be live at the Glen for 2 hours. Hopefully, they're going to have a cool tweet up again this year. So we'll go crash that, talk to whoever the tweet up guests are, hopefully grab some drivers. We had a lot of fun last year. Alexander Rossi was there. Of course, there won't be any IndyCar drivers there this year. But we also talked to a couple cup drivers that were there too. I think Michael McDowell was one of them, and who else did we talk to? I can't even remember now. But we had a fun time with that last year, and we caught up with Bob Pockris and Jeff Gluck and all sorts of media personalities. We talked to Kurt Becker from MRN last year. So that is the plan. August the 5th, 2 weeks from today, we'll be live at the Glen, 10 to noon. If you want to come hang out, you know, you're more than welcome to shoot me a tweet saying you're going to be there, and We'll do our own. We'll crash. We'll have a tweet up inside the tweet up there at Watkins Glen. But speaking of the Glen, as being the major media market closest to Watkins Glen International, we are always lucky enough to get a media visit, media tour from a NASCAR driver every year. And this year, as I said off the top, Clint Bowyer came to town. And again, if you were paying attention on Thursday to my social media, or if you were listening to One Bills Live with Steve Tasker, Clint Bowyer came to One Bills Drive and toured the new era. Toward New Era Field and the facilities, and I was there along with some other members of the media. And as a Bills fan, it was really cool because I've never gotten the same tour. I've never seen the locker room and the meeting room and all that behind the scenes stuff. I don't cover games like, you know, like Sal does here for the station. So I never saw any of that stuff either. And then walking down the tunnel of the field, that was awesome because I've never done that myself. You see it on TV and everything, but I've never made the walk through the tunnel onto the field. That was awesome. And so it was a lot of fun. But Steve Tasker led our tour, and you know, Steve is a great personality, obviously, from One Bills Live and CBS and everything. And he was talking, it was more for Clint than us media members. We were kind of just tagging along, but I was still trying to pay attention. But Steve was explaining everything that goes on during the week, how the Bills prepare for games, all the meetings and practices. As taking Clint through the different areas like the field house and the practice fields. Those two guys connected because they're both from Kansas. Of course, Clint is from Emporia, Kansas, and Steve Tasker also originally from Kansas. So that was a nice little connection there between those two. They allowed them to really hit it off right off the bat. Not that they weren't gonna, but both two guys with great personalities. But they had a lot of fun just kind of talking. And then we got down to the field, and we were joined by Brandon Bean, who, of course, Bill's general manager. They brought him down. He was in some meetings, but they pulled him away for a few minutes. And Brandon got to meet Clint Bowyer. They did this really neat exchange where Clint Bowyer got a Bills jersey with a number one on it, and Brandon Bean got a crew shirt for the Rush Truck Center Stewart Haas Racing crew shirt. They exchanged that, and if you go on my social media, whether it's at FastTrack550 or Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack, you can see a picture of that. Also, our Facebook page, I took some live videos of the tour, so check that out, too, if you want to go back and watch some of that, Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. They were on the field and chatted for a few minutes and some fun conversation there. You know, Clint just kind of talking off the cuff, and he was describing how he got to NASCAR because Brandon was, you know, asking him about his career and how he just, his boss at his job in the auto shop or body shop that he worked at started building like a street stock and invited Clint to go out with them. Next thing you know, Clint's behind the wheel. And then 5 years later, Richard Childress is calling him to come drive in the Cup Series. And at first, Clint didn't believe it was Richard Childress. He thought it was one of his buddies playing a prank on him. But no, it turned out it was actually Richard Childress. And that, of course, led to him driving in what is now the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series, you know, starting with that 07 Jack Daniels car. And then moving on to other sponsors, you know, he had General Mills on the car at one point, and then Michael Waltrip Racing, and that kind of soured after the whole Richmond debacle, and then he kind of had to tough it out for a season before he go to Stuart Haas Racing last year and finally get back with a major team. And last year they were getting, you know, acclimated, and you're going to hear more about this from Clint in just a minute. But now this year they're, you know, firing on all cylinders. He's got two wins, Martinsville and the rain-shortened race at Michigan, and he is, you know, in the top 10 in points and already sewn up a spot for the playoffs. So it's the resurgence of Bowyer here in 2018 in the Cup Series. But enough of me talking about it. Let's go to the tape, and this is myself and Clint Bowyer chatting inside the Bills meeting room Thursday here on Fast Track.
How much different does it feel this part of the season this year compared to maybe your last couple of years?
Well, it just feels good, you know, to finally get to where I thought we were, you know, headed last year when I signed on with Stuart Haas Racing. Last year was just, it was obviously frustrating, but there was a lot of good runs, but there was just way too many, valleys with those peaks. We overcame a lot last year. Mm-hmm. Had to learn a lot, new manufacturer and everything that went into that. That's not an excuse. It was just a huge eye-opener for me. I've never been at an organization that went through a change in a manufacturer. Usually, every time you walk in the door somewhere, whether it be RCR in my first of my career or MWR or now, you know, anywhere, literally. They were already established way down the road with the manufacturer, the communication, the database. Everything that you do, the tools that we use to find speed on the racetrack was already established. So that was a huge undertaking for everybody at Stuart Haas Racing. And I think that year under our belts and learning and putting that all to good use has finally shown up in a big way this year with not only one car, but all four Stuart Haas cars running well.
Watkins Glen, where does that rank for you? You got, you know, four top tens in your last six starts. Where does that rank on your list of tracks on the circuit?
You know, Sonoma is probably one of my best tracks. And naturally, you would head off into Watkins Glen with a handful of confidence thinking, I got them, you know. If I'm running that good there, I'm going to dominate at Watkins Glen. It hasn't been the case for me. I struggle more at Watkins Glen than I do at Sonoma. Faster racetrack. It's been repaved. The grip level is a little bit different, but I think it's just that pace difference. Sonoma's kind of a finesse, short track type feel, and Watkins Glen is a wide open, throw it off in the corner as hard as you can, be good under braking, difference than Sonoma. So there's just like Sonoma, there's parts of that racetrack you got to hone in and focus on and practice and be good at up through the S's. The fast part of the racetrack, you better be fast. That bus stop on the back straightaway is very tricky to get through there with good speed consistently. And finding that comfort level in practice in a short amount of time is very, very important.
Now compare that to where you were testing this week at the Roval. How different is that compared to the Glen and Sonoma?
You know, that Roval was fast. Surprised me how fast it was. Surprised me how dangerous. And I don't mean dangerous as like you're going to get hurt. I just mean the consequences of slipping up the least little bit. There is no room for error. There is no runoff room. That chicane on the back straight, I mean, you're missing that tire barrier by inches. Literally single digit inches. Running through there feels like 170 mile an hour or so, and just barely missing that tire barrier. So there's been a lot of carnage already in the couple test sessions that we've had, and I don't think that's going to be the end of it. It's not going to be the last crash we see on that place.
How about this weekend at New Hampshire? You've won there before RCR. You got a couple seventh place finishes last year back with Stuart Haas. How do you think you're going to do this weekend?
Well, I mean, you look back at last year, typically, you know, over my career, the short tracks have been my bread and butter. Those that have been the ones that I really need to, you know, cash in on and capitalize on over the years. And it was a seventh place. You know, we weren't that good last year on short tracks. This year, we won Martinsville. We were good at Richmond. We've been, you know, consistently up front, fast at Phoenix. I'm looking forward to New Hampshire. I think it's a different game now. I think our program's a lot better than it was last year. So, yeah, I don't see any reason that we are not headed up there this weekend thinking we're going to be contending for a win.
I saw on Twitter you were busy last night watching the truck race and watching your late models in competition. What did you think last night with the truck race with Chase Briscoe winning there on the last lap?
Oh, that was a great race. And I think that's what's neat about our sport. you know, everybody always says you got to have that speed, you got to be fast. That's probably the slowest, you know, speeds that you're going to see in motorsports on any racetrack. And it was, I thought it was really entertaining and exciting. It came down to the end, down to the wire, and on a restart, and you know, he got the job done. But most of the night, I saw 3-4 wide racing, and saw everything in a race you wanted to see. You know what I mean? You come to a race, and it's all about those moments. Those moments are what you're going to bring back to your family and friends, and you know, the coffee shop the next morning and talk about. And I guarantee you, the coffee shops were busy this morning.
Last thing, just talk about your visit here to New Era Field. I hear your wife's a big Bills fan, and you've made her green with envy with this visit today.
Yeah, we dropped them off in Penny Ann so the kids could be with their grandparents there. Pick them up back on the way back from New Hampshire. But she's always grew up a Bills fan, obviously, from this part of the country. And you know, always talks. She's always got Bills, Buffalo Bills sweatpants. She's had them since I've known her, and she still wears them today. They're blue Bills all the way down the leg, and it doesn't matter where we go. If we got a Sunday off or something, I can guarantee you, she'll go, if you're going to Cracker Barrel, you look over and you're like, really? You're going to wear your Bills sweatpants? She'll have those on. Yeah, she's been a lifelong Bills fan for sure.
Clint, thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend.
Hey, thanks, man.
There's Clint Boyer from Thursday at New Era Field. And yeah, his wife, she was totally jealous. She couldn't be there. As you heard, she's from Penn Yan originally. And she called dibs on that jersey. As soon as she found out Clint got a Bills jersey with Boyer on the back, she called dibs on that. So I doubt it even. She probably grabbed his bag when he got back from New Era Field and took that jersey. And I'm sure she'll take permanent ownership of that. As I forgot that Clint has some ties there with his family. His brother-in-law is, and I'm going to butcher this name, but Derek Podciato, that runs modifieds like a Canandaigua Land of Legends Raceway, big block modified driver. That's his brother-in-law. I forgot about that. I was reminded this week when Clint was here, but his wife from Penn Yan and a huge Bills fan. So she was super jealous that Clint got to come and visit One Bills Drive and New Era Fielding at the big tour there with Steve Tasker. The one thing I took exception to, and it's been kind of a conversation on Twitter this weekend, too, is calling Loudoun, New Hampshire a short track. It's a mile long. Short tracks are 5/8, maybe 3/4 of a mile and shorter. Those are short tracks. Mile tracks are not short tracks. I know the Cup guys to them, compared to mile and a half and 2 mile and super speedways and road courses, I guess they seem like a short track, but mile tracks aren't short tracks. I'm sorry. And actually, Dale Jr. did a Twitter poll asking fans if they thought New Hampshire was a short track, and no won by 58-42. So I agree. Call it intermediate, call it a mile track. It's not a short track. I'm sorry. It's ask the modified guys that ran there yesterday if they think Loudoun is a short track compared to some of the places they run. It's not a short track. But either way, Cup Series is in New Hampshire this weekend, and again, the race got moved up to 1 o'clock. We'll have the race here on WGR today at 1 o'clock. I don't think we'll have the pre-race coverage, but we will have the live. If the race gets started on time, you'll hear it right here on WGR at 1 o'clock, courtesy of the Performance Racing Network. So that is coming up after we're off the air today, and we're going to wrap up this edition of Fast Track coming up next. The local racing roundup, plenty of great racing locally to talk about here when we get back on WGR.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
And we'll go back to Thursday night. Genesee ran on Thursday because of the Genesee County Fair. And a great turnout. They had a great turnout of cars and lots of fans there Thursday at Genesee Speedway. Jason Jenko winning the Rush Late Model Tour event, and I think that sweeps both Rush events for Jenko at Batavia this year. The Grit Sportsman James Henry picked up his third win of the year at Genesee over Zach George and Adam Leslie. 360 Late Models, Brian Katarski got the win there. Josh Pangrazio got the win in the Street Stocks, and Dante Mancuso got another mini stock win there Thursday night at Genesee Speedway. They had to take Saturday night off for the fair, which is a yearly tradition for the folks at Genesee Speedway. Friday night action, Ranceville Speedway. Jesse Cotras held off Eric Rudolph to get the 358 modified win. Chris Bierick and the Sportsman. Corey Sawyer, 4 wins in the last 5 races, including the last 4 straight weeks for the Huckster and the Street Stocks. Cole Soucy got the 4-banger win. Bubby Pollock got the win in the Novice Sportsman there Friday night at the Big R. And of course, this Friday night they will host the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars. That should be a ton of fun. We heard from Craig Kinzer earlier in this program. Also, Lancaster Dragway on Friday night. Mo Alfaki got the Buffalo Street Outlaws win. Jason Doty, the Street Limited win. Mike Nowak, top eight. Dick Siepel and top ET. Keith Banus in Mod ET. Mike Peters in Bikes and Sleds for the second straight week. And Tim Markle got his second win of the year in Street ET. Freedom Motorsports Park. Billy Van Pelt got the modified win over Adam Hilton and Phil Vigneri. Kyle Inman in the Sportsman over Brad Rouse and Austin Fugel. Dennis Cumming in the Street Stocks. Dwayne Powers in the Mini Stocks. Last night, Holland Speedway, the track at Hillside, Race of Champions Modified Series, Thunder in the Hills 100, and Andy Jankowiak did a phenomenal job holding off Matt Hirschman to get the win last night there in another great race for the Race of Champions Modified Series. They've put on two back-to-back great shows the last two Saturdays with Chuck Hosfeld rounding out the top three. The four-cylinder Race of Champions four-cylinder Dash Series, first-ever event for that series, the Butch Palmer Memorial, and Travis Montgomery held off Jody London and brother AJ Montgomery to get the win. That was a ton of fun. 24 cars, 32 laps, not one caution flag, and a side-by-side battle for the lead for the last second half of the race, pretty much. It was a lot of fun. Brian Hoffman got the street stock win. He wins on back-to-back Saturdays between Lancaster and Holland. And the TQ Midgets, a very fun race. In almost identical cars, Andy Jankowiak and Kyle Hutchinson battled for the lead side-by-side, and Andy J picked up that win, too, to give him two wins last night. Dave Wallaber went up second after Kyle appeared to be an axle there on the final lap, but still limped home third. And Neil Dietz got the win in the Sportsman last night at Holland. Merrittville last night, Anthony Kelly in the Mini Stocks, Josh Slider in the Mod Lights, Rob Murray in the Hoosier Stocks, Brent Bigelow in the King of the Crate Sportsman race, and Matt Williamson in the 358 Modifieds last night at the Merrittville Speedway. Humberstone Speedway, they're up in the air right now if they're going to race tonight. There should be a decision by 2 o'clock. Not so much rain today, but they got a lot of it last night. And I hear the pits aren't so great, but if they do get it in tonight, they do have the BEI Lightning Series for the Sportsman tonight at the Humberstone Speedway, 6:30 out there in Port Colborne. Truck race Wednesday night at Eldora. It was exciting as always. Chase Briscoe, Grant Enfinger battling for the win on the last lap. Chase Briscoe edging out for the win. Stuart Friesen, of course, a threat to win, won his heat race, was up front early on, but got spun with some contact early on in the event, and had come back through the field and was third on a late race restart, and I thought he was going to get a run to the outside and maybe have a shot for the win, but then they had one last caution that kind of killed his momentum, and he had to settle for third. But Stewart in their top five finish in the truck series. Also, good run for Max McLaughlin, who we had on the program here last week. He finished 12th in his first ever truck series start. So great to see Max have a run. And then Max and Stewart, they flew up. They ran Orange County Fair Speedway in Central New York Thursday night for the Super Dirt Car Series. And Stewart picked up the win there. Made up for not winning at Eldora, I guess. But Stewart right back in the modified and won Thursday night. And I think he won Fonda on Friday night, too. So he is two wins in his last two races after the truck race. Pretty darn good for Stewart Friesen. Also, this week, an anniversary this week. This past Thursday, July 19th, was the 60th anniversary of the lone NASCAR Cup Series race to be held in Buffalo. Yes, in Buffalo. The old, which was then the Grand National Series, ran at Civic Stadium. Yep, War Memorial, the Rock Pile, where the Bills used to play. They used to run race cars there. They had a little flat track that ran around the field. It was almost like a track you have like high school track meets on almost. And NASCAR came through. They ran Toronto at the CNE the day before, which was Richard Petty's first ever start. And the next day, Richard and Lee Petty were back. And Richard Petty's second career of what is considered the Cup Series was here in Buffalo at Civic Stadium. Gentleman by the name of Jim Reed won the race. Cotton Owens was second. Lee Petty finished sixth. Billy Rafter, who is a local racing legend, champion at Lancaster and success at Ransomville and Humberstone and the New York State Fairgrounds, four-score Hall of Famer, he placed ninth that day. Richard Petty finished 11th, and again, just his second ever start. Rex White, former champion, he finished fifth that day. But that was the 60th anniversary of that race was this past Thursday, July 19th, in the lone Cup race ever held at Buffalo. And I believe the Hamburg Fairgrounds also hosted a couple, what was then the Grand National Series back in the 1950s. But they used to go to all sorts of different facilities. They ran 51 races that year, did the the Grand National Series. They ran all over North America pretty much, especially on the East Coast, from down south in Florida and even up to Toronto. And a stop right here in Buffalo. Just one time it happened, but it was the 60th anniversary of that this week. So it's if you ever wonder if NASCAR ever came to Buffalo, they did. But it was 60 years ago, and also they ran some races again at Hamburg too. I'm pretty sure what is now the fairgrounds and the track there, which they even ran racing there in the 90s. They ran sprint car races there on the horse track at Buffalo Raceway, even into the 90s. You'd see that during the fair, but. Now all they do is, of course, the Demolition Derby, which is, you know, has been successful for so many years with Jay Milligan and the JM Productions. They do all the stunt shows and the demo derbies. But it's you go there and you're like, this would be maybe a little fun to see some racing. I fortunately never got the chance to see it. But that is going to do it for this week's show. We'll be back next week. The Loudon race again, that's coming up at 1 o'clock. The start time was pushed up an hour. They're going to try and get it in, but... You know, follow on Twitter and tune in at 1 o'clock. You can hear about if they're actually going to get the race in today. If not, we may be all watching it at work tomorrow afternoon. But thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.